There's a passage I want to be on the screen for just a moment. Would you go ahead and put that first slide up for me, Pam? The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. I think that is really critical for us to realize, because I think there's something God wants us to recognize. He is working. He's always at work. In John chapter 5 and verse 17, Jesus said that this was after He healed somebody on the Sabbath and he caught flack from the religious folks. He looked at them and He said, "My Father is always working, so I'm always working." God has a plan and a mission for this world, and He wants every single one of us to know that He will invite us into that plan if we will stay in tune with Him and if we will listen. He has a mission that He wants to accomplish, and He wants to accomplish that mission through us. He could have done it any way that He chose, but He chose to use us. And so today, I want to tell you about my trip. I want to tell you about my involvement with Middle East Baptist Seminary. I want to tell you some of their history and some of the things that are going on, but that is not the message. I want you to listen between the words and see if you get the message. Well, no, I won't do that to you. God is working. God is always working. And He wants us to join Him in that work. That's the message. That's the purpose. That's why we're here this morning. Even though I'm going to be focusing on Middle East Baptist Seminary and on my trip, the message that God drilled in me that made me decide to not preach in 2 Timothy today, I will make it up next week, I'll double up, is that I think that God has something that He wants every single one of us to do. And I think that He's got something He wants us as a community to do. One of the things that really impressed me was I could be in a room full of people whose language I did not speak, and I could experience family and community. Technology made us a neighborhood. Jesus makes us a community. Jesus makes us a family. Now, Pam, I know I said we're not going to use that video. Is there a way you can access that video? It's no good? Okay, never mind. So one of the things that you, if you ever go on a mission trip with Wagi Boutros, he's a wonderful, godly man, but he'll catch you off guard. We did a worship service together with all of our students the last Sunday we were there. And they're leading in worship. And then one of our guys got up and preached the sermon, and we had a translator. And they're praying to close the message. And Wagi leans over to me and says, "Why don't you lead them in a song?" I have a video of that. But it was incredible because I happened to have a song that I could say one verse and they repeat it back. And I had experienced them doing that in our classes before, not this particular song. But anyway, so I was able to do that, and I wanted you to, as I'm standing up here now thinking, it'd be good for you to hear that, to hear them singing in our language. But anyway, well, never mind. Okay, so Middle Eastern Baptist Seminary was started by Dr. David Dickerson back in 2002. Now, God is so creative and He's so awesome. He brings people into our lives and He brings situations into our lives that seem totally unrelated to anything else. And then later on, they show back up and they play a major role. In that first class of students, there were two young men who did all the translation work for every course. Those two young men graduated with a three-year Master's of Divinity degree, and they now lead Middle Eastern Baptist Seminary. You just saw their picture up there a second ago. This is Dr. Waghi. He's on this side. And Dr. Joseph Habib is on the other side. Now, those guys are leading this ministry now, and it is thriving. Dr. David Dickerson plays a major role, but they're the ones who are leading it. In the near future, well, they've transitioned from having a three-year master's degree to a two-year master's degree. And in the near future, they're praying about God opening the door for them to do a doctor program. Middle Eastern Baptist Seminary started in Alexandria, Egypt. It was using rooms in a Baptist hospital that was there, Christian Baptist, Baptist hospital that was there. And then after they were there for a while, God worked something out that was really intriguing. This guy named Sami Habib purchased some property in a new city called Al-Sharuq City. Now, he did that so he could build a home for his family. These homes are four levels. They're massive. Go ahead and show. This on the left and right, that is what was initially going to be his home. The problem was when his family went to see this property, they said, "Dad, this is too far away. It's a new city. It's nice and all that, but no, we want to be with our friends and family." So Dr. Habib said, Sami Habib said, or Labib, he says, "God, what do you want me to do with this property?" Well, he has a connection with Dr. David Dickerson. And he said to Dr. David Dickerson, he said, "Doctor, if you will commit to raising the additional $350,000 it'll take to finish this building, I will give it to you for Middle East Baptist Seminary." Now, at the cost of $750,000 to himself. Now, Sami Labib was a Christian businessman who funneled as much of his resources to kingdom work as he possibly could. The Lord took him home during COVID. But David agreed, and he wasn't able to raise $350,000. He raised $450,000. And they were able to finish building the building, and they're still doing some work on the inside. But this is an incredible place. On the third floor is where I stayed. They have a kitchenette with a large room, and they've got three bedrooms. And then the next floor up, they've got room for 40 students to be housed there when they come for class. And the other rooms or floors are administration buildings and then other classrooms. And in the bottom floor, a church meets to try to reach this community with the gospel of Christ. As I lay in bed on the third floor of the MEBS facility, just marveling at what God had done, on the morning after I arrived, I arrived at 1:20 a.m., got to bed about 3 a.m. At 5:18, on the dot, a call to prayer went out. I don't know if you've ever been in a community where there is a call to prayer, but you don't sleep. And it was dark, it was eerie, and it was intriguing to me as I laid there and I listened to the call to prayer, and it stopped. And then I heard off in the distance another call to prayer happening, and then when that one stopped, another call to prayer. It was intriguing that their commitment to calling people to pray is incredible. Well, I use that time, and they happen throughout the day, five times throughout the day. And I use those times to focus my mind on God. In that particular time, I asked God, I said, "Jesus, what do you want to say to me during this time?" I'd been meditating on from a book called Valley of Vision. It's a collection of Puritan prayers. And I'd been meditating on a Puritan prayer called Praise and Thanksgiving. And this was the line that kept going through my head: "Increase my love, O God, through time and eternity." And then it just really made me want it long to know God intimately and have a spring of love come up out of me that would just naturally share with other people. because the love of God is so profound and so powerful. It's everything. And if people can just receive that, he will radically change us from the inside out. And then the last of that phrase, to love thee above the powers of language to express. Wouldn't that be something? To have that kind of love for God to just well up inside of you beyond your ability to express it. Well, throughout the day, I used that time, like I said, to focus my attention on God. And the passage God brought to me was from Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. So throughout the day, that kept being the prayer that God would bring to my mind, and each time my thirst for God increased. Then, out of the blue, again, remember, God is working. He's always at work. Out of the blue, I was voluntold that I was going to be preaching on Sunday. This was Friday afternoon. The day was already half gone, and we had a commitment all day Saturday. So I'm like, okay, God, what are you going to do here? How are you going to make this happen? I prayed and I asked for God to give me insight and wisdom to know what he wanted me to say. And I'll tell you, it was almost immediate as I prayed, God brought my mind to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. A passage I preached here 3 weeks ago. And I felt like God was prompting me to move me in that direction. I soon recognized that God led me to that passage because he was already at work. See, this is one of the first things that drilled into me. God is at work. He's always at work. He had prepared this congregation for this message. Well, the pastor, Pastor Joseph, which you've already seen on the slide, he started the service off by introducing everyone to a discipleship process they were going to be using. And he was challenging them to begin praying about and thinking about who God wanted them to invest in. And I'm sitting there going, oh, God, you're so good. You're so good. Well, the Sunday prior, a mom and her two teenage daughters and another lady were all baptized. And the mom who was baptized with her two teenage daughters, her husband anointed is what comes to my mind, but it's not the right word. He was put in place as the very first deacon for the church. So there was a lot of things going on in this congregation at the time. So I preached the message, and when I got to the place where I asked them the question, who is your Timothy? That mom grabbed one of her teenage daughter's arms and raised it up. And the teenage daughter was like, now, her other daughter was sitting a little ways away because she had just broken her leg and she had to have it propped up. And she'd been part of the worship team, too, so she had to be sit in a different place. And her mom held up this daughter's arm and pointed at the other daughter, and the other daughter went. There were other people in the congregation that really sensed that God is moving in them to mentor other people. But at the end of the service, that mom came up to me. And she said, I've been talking to God about mentoring another lady. And what you said confirmed for me what God wants me to do. God is at work. He's always at work. And if I hadn't had that opportunity to preach that sermon, it wouldn't have been the encouragement to her, the nudge that she might have just needed to make sure that she followed through and that she did it. That evening, Don Padgett, one of the guys from our team, he's a pastor from North Carolina, really, really cool drawl. These are the pictures from that church that I preached at. And did you already see the one of me preaching? Yeah, there we go. Anyway, that evening, Don Padgett had an opportunity to preach in another church in Cairo. He preached at a church that was pastored by a man named Wael, and his wife's name is Jacqueline. Now, Pastor Joseph had a major role in this church getting started. He led Wael and Jacqueline to Christ, and he discipled them. And he was the first pastor of this church, so he handed it off to them. Well, Don is preaching at this church, and a man named Amir, who had translated for Don the week before when he did some teaching in Cairo, translated for him. And after the service, I was sort of drawn to Amir. So I went and I talked to him. I said, Amir, tell me about yourself. Where's your family? And he said, they live in Delta, which is the Delta, which is like 3 hours away. And he said, I said, well, what do you do for work? He said, well, I translate and I do that kind of work. I translate books from English into Arabic. And he listed off some publishers I knew. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. And I said, well, is that how you make your living? He said, well, yes. He said, I do that so I can take care of my family and so that I can fund the ministry I really want to do. He said, I preach and teach God's word everywhere that I can, and I do that for free. I mean, I met people like this all the time. People like this who know that God wants to use them, and they want to be involved in what God is doing. God is at work. He's always at work. So the question that I kept asking, and it took me a while to get an answer, is how did God bring Middle East Baptist Seminary to South Sudan? Why South Sudan? Well, after experiencing God's closed door on what they called a discovery trip to Kuwait, God seemed to be opening a door to South Sudan. One of their students told him about South Sudan and said, look, they've got all kinds of bad Bible teaching, just real fluffy stuff. A lot of large name, you know, health and wealth speakers had been in there. When they went on a discovery trip to South Sudan, they said that 300 or 400 pastors showed up. And they would each introduce themselves as apostle so-and-so or prophet so-and-so. And they kind of began to think, you know, maybe they're not quite solid in their doctrine. And they got to know them a little bit better, and they found out, yeah, they really had some very, very infantile understanding of the scriptures. But their hearts were for God. They desired to know God. So when they said they would open up a seminary in Juba, 80 people signed up and said they wanted to be part of that. Another thing that happened that was really interesting that seemed to indicate that God was opening the door for them to come is Dr. David Dickerson got an invitation from the Anglican Church, the Anglican Bishop of Juba, inviting him to come to be there. And when Dr. Dickerson let him know, you know, for sure, I want you to be very clear with you that we are looking to start a Baptist seminary. And this priest, this bishop said to him, I not only want you to know that you're welcome here in Juba, we want you to come. And then they paid for and issued him a visa, a residence visa, that would allow him to come and go at will. Now, they didn't realize the benefit of or the cost of a gift like that until they went to renew it this year, and it was $1,500. God had opened the door, and when they, like I said, when they decided to have their first class, 80 people signed up. Well, another thing that happened on the way to Juba was on this discovery trip, they handed out groceries to people in this community. And a couple of our own folks, Kurt and Julie Golicky, got to be part of that. And so God was moving and God was shaking and God was making things happen, but things were already going on even there. Now, in 2023, January 2023, go back to that slide, Pam, if you would, of the students in the graduation garb. Go back a little bit. right there. That is the first graduation class of Juba in January of 2023. And they were, this class was filled with people who started off by thinking they were apostles and thinking they were prophets and thinking and having really flawed teaching, but they graduated having a good, solid biblical understanding of what the scriptures teach, and they're pastoring and they're doing ministry. While I was preparing for this morning, I remembered something that Marlene Boutros Switzner told me. Many of you may remember Marlene and Nathan. He was a doctoral student at Mines, and she came along with him as his wife. And she said, before she met and decided to marry Nathan, that she had gone with a team to South Sudan. I didn't know anything about South Sudan at the time, and so I didn't really think of it until I was thinking about this message, and this came back to my mind. She said she wanted to marry a Sudanese man, and then I'll just read to her what she told me in a text as I was refreshing my memory last week. She said, our plan was to go to a people who spoke a language other than Arabic, learn that language so that we could translate the great book for them, translate the Bible for them. That wasn't part of God's plan for her. She is in a Middle East country with her husband serving, but it's not Sudan. And I can't really say where it is. But what that did was it brought the idea of South Sudan to the back of Waghi's mind. And so that as all these different pieces were coming together, they realized that this is the place. This is where God wants us to be. South Sudan is one of the poorest, least developed countries in the world. Go ahead and show that map. You can see it's bordered by a lot of different countries that you've heard of recently, in particular Ethiopia, where there's wars going on, there's ethnic cleansing, there's all kinds of horrible things that are happening there. South Sudan's population is 11 million people. Their capital city is Juba. Their self-proclaimed religion is Christianity, and their self-proclaimed language is English. Both of those are aspirational right now. They have a very Christian culture in a lot of how they behave, but they, like I've said, they don't really understand the Bible well. They've not been taught well. And they also want to learn and speak English, but we still need translators. But they are well on their way to make that happening. Now, the long-running civil war between the North and the South ended in 2005. So it was Sudan. It was always just Sudan, but the northern part of Sudan and the southern part of Sudan were always fighting. And in 2005, they signed a comprehensive peace agreement so that in 2011, under its traditional constitution, South Sudan came into existence. Its official name is the Republic of South Sudan. And I think we might have a picture of the flag. Yeah, that is their flag. I tell you all that to tell you that this is a country who is at its very infancy. It's 13 years old. And God has brought Middle East Baptist Seminary there to help train up some of its most powerful leaders. God is at work. He's always at work. From the time God put in Marlene's heart to go to Sudan, to the time they had these meetings, to the rejection in Kuwait from them being there, God had been working. And they were simply listening and simply following. If we will simply listen and follow, God will speak to us and through us and use us to accomplish things we never could have imagined. Waghi and I were talking, and this was on WhatsApp after I got home. And I said, Waghi, what was the thing that impressed you the most during our time there? He said, I sat and I listened to you teach, and I said, God, you're giving us our dream. He and I had prayed that God would give us opportunity to serve together overseas somewhere. It was out of just that prayer years ago. And God was faithfully meeting our needs and answering that prayer. Our classes were filled with men and women, mostly men, just a handful of women. Here's some pictures of the classes we had. There's a few of these slides. There was a total of 60 students, and Dawn and I, we handled the undergrads, and there were 19 in our class. So we thought there was going to be a little bit different number, but that's the number that we worked with. Now, all of them were sponges. They just love God, and they love the Word. To go and experience worship with them is something else. Now, I don't know if you've ever sat in a class for 6 hours straight, but these folks did not sit in a class for 6 hours straight. They sat in a class for 12 hours with a lunch break. And by the time I got to them in the afternoon, they were on the nods once in a while, right? You know what I mean? And so when we'd take a break, I would always start us off. I'd have one of the guys lead us in worship. And there's nothing like just these brothers and sisters raising their voices. There's nothing that holds them back. There's not a person in the room that couldn't dance. I mean, it was an experience. It was in the worship experience we had Sunday morning together. I'm on one side of the room. Dawn Padgett's on the other side of the room, and I'm amazed. Dawn is just weeping. He's got his arms up in the air. He's weeping. And I asked him later, I said, Don, what was going on? He said, I think God gave us a foretaste of what heaven's going to be like. It was amazing to me. I think God has experiences like that he wants us to enjoy. Now, let me be clear. MEBS, Middle East Baptist Seminary, is a tool that God is using in his work. He is capable, more than capable, of doing his work without using MEBS. Here's some examples of what God had already been doing before Middle East Baptist Seminary came into these people's lives. Now, I know that's true because these are stories from some of the undergrads that I had. Most of the people in my courses this was their very first class that they had with MEBS. So I just want to tell you a couple of their stories. I won't have any pictures of these individuals, just for their safety's sake. One young man is named Richard. Richard works with a ministry that goes to the border. Remember the map that was up there, and Ethiopia is one of the border states? There have been at least 100,000 people come across the border, become refugees, and then kind of work their way into South Sudan from Ethiopia because of all the fighting that's happening. He's with this team that goes up there, and they provide aid to these refugees. And they also share Jesus with them. And over the 2 weeks prior to our class, he said, we've led 49 Muslims to Christ. Somebody made a comment to me last week, you know, I've heard that God is working in Muslims' lives through dreams and through very miraculous things. And it struck me that he's also working in their lives through war. He brought them to a place where they would hear the message of hope in Jesus. That's one guy. Another man, Joseph, the man who translated for Dawn and I most of the time. He works for a ministry called ACROSS, which stands for African Committee for Rehabilitation of South Sudan. The second morning of translation for us, he came to class, and he was just excited. I mean, he just kind of couldn't sit still in his chair, and I'm like, what's going on? He said, we just got our first shipment of 49 boxes from In Touch Ministries. Anybody recognize In Touch Ministries? Charles Stanley, who recently passed into the Lord's presence, right? God is still using his influence around the globe. Anyway, so each box has four boxes in it, and each of those boxes inside the big box have 50 audio Bibles. And those 50 audio Bibles have been, the Bible has been translated into the language of some of the indigenous people in the area. And so Joseph does is his ministry is in contact with pastors around the area, out in the bush, the area no one can get to. And they distribute these audio Bibles to those pastors, and the pastors give them to individuals who gather up groups, and they listen together, and they study together, and the goal is to lead them to Jesus and to disciple them. And that is happening. A really creative, out-of-the-box kind of thinking. Now, another brother who translated for us when Joseph was not available, his name is Dominic. Dominic works for New Covenant Missions. The initiative he works on is called How Will They Hear? They plant churches and they disciple those new believers. They go to the most unreached people in Africa, all of Africa, but they start in South Sudan. And he said, well, actually, I went to their website. I went to websites to make sure all this stuff was true. So I'm not, I got caught in that a couple weeks ago. Somebody pointed that out to me. I went to a website that wasn't quite right. So I'm careful now. Anyway, on the website, they said that on average, doing what they do How Will They Hear? They see an average of 124 people make decisions for Christ every day. Every day. God is at work. He's always at work. Why is God using Middle East Baptist Seminary? Because they're available. They're seeking. They're asking. What did God say? You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God is at work. He's always at work. There is something God wants to do in your sphere of influence, in my sphere of influence, in our sphere of influence. One of the things that I missed while I was gone was our prayer walk. I don't know how many people went on the prayer walk, but I want to ask you if you would very seriously consider praying that God would show you whose life he's working in. In what way is he working? How does he want to invite you into what he's doing? God can do anything he wants with any tool that he wants, and he wants to use us. The question is, will we turn the TV off? Will we set aside whatever thing we enjoy doing, and ask him, God, how do you want to use me? How do you want to use me? I love that new song that we sang today. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, if we just meditated on that thought right there for the whole week, I think this truth that God is at work, he's always at work, would just sink itself into the fiber of our being. And that's my prayer for myself and for you. I have to say, you all, many of you joined on this mission as well. I can't tell you how encouraging it was to me last week when Connie and I talked. And she told me that so many of you came up and asked her how I was doing and just said, hey, let him know we're praying. Let him know we're praying. Because honestly, I really needed it. There was a lot of really awesome things happening here, but some of what was going on was just, honestly, spiritual warfare. I do want to apologize for not having stayed in better touch. If something could go wrong with my connectivity, it did. And so what I've learned some things, so the next time, if God gives me an opportunity to go on another trip, I will have that better in hand. But honestly, prayer is what I needed the most. The devil is known as the accuser of the brothers, right? And there is a reason. I experienced his accusations. Both Don and I had never done this kind of extensive teaching before. And we expressed concern that we wouldn't have enough material to teach 6 hours a day for 4 days straight, and then 2 hours, 6 hours a day for another 2 days on a different subject. And so I sat there listening to Don speak that first day, and it really just played in my, the accuser played in my head. I had prayed the evening before we arrived in Juba this simple prayer: Lord, multiply our words like you did the loaves and fishes. And I want to read from my journal. This was day two. You are a great God. You're faithful and good. As I sat listening to Don teach yesterday morning, the enemy accused me. He told me I wasn't prepared. He told me I didn't have enough material. He said, who are you anyway to speak to these people? These are the cream of the crop of South Sudan. These people who are hungry for God. Who are you to say anything to them? But I'm here because you chose me. I'm here because you appointed me. As David said, God, you train my arms for war. I can bend a bow of brass. I say, you've trained my mind for teaching. I can make your truth clear. I can unravel important truths. You are my teacher, my trainer, my facilitator, my guide, my director. And then I had been reading again in the Valley of Vision, the collection of Puritan prayers, and I ended with this. O triune God, who commandeth the universe, thou hast commanded me to ask for those things that concern the kingdom of my soul. Let me live and pray as one baptized into the threefold name. And then the next day I added this. What a faithful God. You've shown up in power from day one. You're investing in your people through your servants, the things that they must need to know. Today continue to speak to and through Don, Dr. Dickerson, Joseph, and me. Guard us from communicating whatever in class or out, in more casual conversation, anything that is not from you, or anything that is in any way untrue, mean, or misleading. Use us as your mouthpiece today. Move in our hearts, minds, and bodies. Then I ended with another excerpt from one of those prayers. Then let me be what I profess. Do as well as teach. Live as well as hear. That's all that God wants from us. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. We'll be perfect when we stand in his presence. Right now, we're on a journey, and we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to fall short. But he never lets us down. God is at work. He's always at work. And he's inviting you, and he's inviting me to be involved in that work. A comment I have written on the whiteboard in my study at home kind of keeps me grounded these days. It gives me perspective to what God wants my involvement in his work to be. By all means, do your best, but after that, be more thrilled that you are saved than that you are successful. Take more delight in the Savior than in your success and in his service. God is at work. He's always at work. And because he wants you to experience the thrill of working with him, he invites you to join him in his work. Ask God to show you where he's working. Ask God to show you what he wants you to do. Don't ask unless you're listening and unless you're willing to respond. But please do ask. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I came back with a gift for everybody. Everyone can have one of these. You can take 10 of them. I know a lot of our folks are out at a retreat today. So if you want to grab some for your friends that you know would want them. This is just something that they, just symbols from Egypt. It's the alphabet in not hieroglyphics, but it's like it. But I would invite you to take it as a reminder that God is at work. He's always at work, and he's got something he wants you to do. Would you join him in that? Would you join us in that? I'm going to pray, and the band is going to come and lead us in one final song. And when they do, we're going to have people up in the front, both sides here, if you would like to pray with somebody. If God's niggling at you, he's saying something to you right now, or maybe you just want someone to pray to help with clarity. Maybe you just want someone to pray and give you the courage to stand up for him. Whatever it is, we're here for you. We want to pray with you. We want to be here for you to seek God during this time. God, thank you so much for this trip, for the things you invested in me in this trip, and the things that I pray you'll invest in this body as a result. God, I pray that you would put every single person in this room on mission with you, that you would give us a heart and a passion to know you better, to live for you, to follow you with everything we have for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.